The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Hello, one and all, and welcome to the IGN spoiler cast of Death Stranding. If you are trying to avoid Death Stranding spoilers, get out of here.
Go.
Run away.
Go now.
Pretend there are BTs. Just get out. Furthermore, if you would like to see a more concise spoiler cast that really just cuts to the chase and is not just four people yammering on about what happens at the end of the game, we do have an ending explained, which you can go check out. But in the meantime, I'm Max Scoville, and I'm joined by my colleagues Tina Amini,
hello,
Sam Claiborne,
hey,
and Mark Medina.
Hello.
And we have all finished Death Stranding.
Yes.
After many hours.
Well, yeah. Completed the game.
Yes.
Made our delivery.
You did it a couple weeks ago. Do you even remember what happened?
I watched our ending explained. A lot happens. There's a lot in there.
Yep.
People have had weird kind of varying reactions. Mm-hmm. Before we go any further, a bit of housekeeping. None of us reviewed the game for IGN. Tristan Ogilvy, who's based out of Australia, which is 7,000 miles away, gave
it's a lot of zip lines.
Yeah. that is quite a hike, but he gave it a 6.8, which a lot of people disagree with, and some people are like, nah, I could see it. But a lot of people are enjoying the game. A lot of us enjoyed the game.
Yeah.
I was sort of, I've gone back and forth about it, but I mean, the point of this is to sort of talk about our experiences.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I just, please don't try not to get too mad at us. Anyway, I want to know what you guys each kind of think of the game. Yeah. Tina, what was your sort of overall experience?
It definitely takes a long time before you get to the meat of it, both in terms of the gameplay and the story. But I think if you rough it out through about 10 hours of the opening, it gets to a point where you get into this repetition that's really familiar, but you're also seeing a lot of your friends' bridges and zip lines, and that like connectivity experience starts to really come into its own at that point, and I started to really enjoy it at that when it's like actually opened up.
Nice.
The gist of it.
And then it closes into boss fight after boss fight.
That's true, yeah. It's sort of like an
which are good. I think they're good.
Yeah.
But you enjoyed it, right?
I enjoyed it ultimately. I can see a lot of why people would be frustrated with some of what, you know, some people have called tedium. But if you're willing to kind of overlook that, or if you're not as bothered by it, it's something where there's a lot to be experienced in the game for
sure. And Sam, what about you?
Yeah, so it's my second favorite game of the year after Resident Evil 2, which I loved. And I really enjoyed my time with it. I think the repetition tedium that the others saw, I just didn't get. I thought that there was a really cool sequence of gameplay. So I liked how you ran for a while and then you dragged briefly, which I didn't like at all. But you, you know, that what is that thing called? The floating thing? But then you drove motorcycles and then you got to jack a truck and then you got to build zip lines. And then by the end, it was just all boss fights, as I just said. So it's like that progression was really varied and different for me. And I thought that was really cool. I just didn't feel like there was like a slow part to begin with. I loved breaking the game in funny ways. Like I think like that concept of getting up any hill you can with a horse in Skyrim is totally Death Stranding as a game. It's like you can take any vehicle anywhere you want if you put your mind to it. And I don't know, I just like open world games that you can kind of break and explore that way. I think it's really cool.
I think of all the people I've talked to about this, the fact that you got as into it as you did was the biggest surprise to me.
I know. I don't like the narrative side of Kojima stuff too much, but I do really like the idea of like being able to go into a sandbox and mess with it. Mm-hmm. And I love in Metal Gear games, like those, you know, enemy bases are just my favorite gameplay of the last 10 years. I love those so much in 5. I think 5 was really good for those infiltrations. And this didn't have a lot of infiltration, but it had that. But still had that like same, like there's a lot of ways to do something, so many ways that you can break it a little bit.
You get to tinker with it.
Yes, exactly.
Mess with it. Mm-hmm. Mark, what about you?
I expected to like it more than I did. That being said, I liked it a lot. If anybody follows me on Twitter or watches me on the Xbox show we have, I can't stop talking about Death Stranding leading up to it. And I was like, I'm going to be enamored with this game from start to finish. And then I found myself, I was like, you know, I kind of wish the story was a little bit better than it is. But I did like the gameplay. I did like seeing other porters, that kind of stuff. That the whole idea of, like, I know exactly what you mean with the motorcycle. And it's like you're just bashing up against a rock. And then somehow, eventually, the game just, like,
jumps you over it
and puts you above the rock. And you're like, yes!
You got to get on your back wheel. That's
yes.
the trick.
Yeah. But we've all ditched vehicles.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, 100%.
Oh, 100%. That weird, like, awkward bunny hop. The bunny.
Yeah. Boing. Boing.
Yep.
Boing.
Yep. But no, I thought I would be enamored with it. Instead, I really, 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 really liked it.
That's fair.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I completely get that. I think
sounds like an 8.6, so the upside down version of it.
There we go.
Yeah, I would say like the two of us were definitely the most kind of closely tuned in on it pre-launch, which I think probably I've talked about this, but I think there were things that got spoiled in the trailers leading up to it.
Oh.
I think there were just even visual elements, like little, you know, I mean, you see some of the last bosses. You see moments from the final cutscenes in some of the trailers, but not everybody watches the trailers as kind of as closely as we did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we also were effectively early adopters. I think we burned through it before anyone else did.
Yeah, which, absolutely.
This is not a game to be rushed.
Mm-hmm.
I think honestly, I kind of spoiled my own experience by like watching too many of the trailers closely and also trying to burn through it. And I still can't figure out exactly what the experience is like. I don't know how much of like with the Strand system, how much of what you see in the world is determined by the game, and how much is determined by the actual Strand system, like how many other people playing.
Yeah, it's weird because when you log into the game, not log in, when you are playing the game, you see things, and then if you go to the system menu, half the time it tells me I'm not online and I have to log in.
Yes,
and I'm like, but I'm seeing online zip lines and stuff like that.
They've been loaded in before, but man, if you play offline, that is hard mode.
Oh, yeah.
I think we've talked about this a lot. If you are playing offline and the servers are down sometimes, you just don't have a bunch of zip lines and private dwellings. What are they called? You know, the safe places, safe houses. That's what they're called. And those are just there. Like somebody peppered those throughout. And I did a bunch of those. I built as many roads as possible in my game. I did every single road in mine, and they appeared in everybody's game, and I was getting likes like crazy, and it just felt really good. So there's that kind of hump in the middle where people are saying, like, oh, you're just doing the same thing over and over again. I suspect that if that's used by people to build and share and talk to people about that, that's a really cool core of the game that's easy to miss.
It's also interesting because when you go from the early sections where you're completely relying on roads and I completely relied on yours, then you get to this like snowy mountainous area and like that's a completely different experience because you need zip lines to traverse them. So I knew, okay, I'm going to keep my PCC level 2s on me. I'm going to make sure I have 4 so I can set up a system
I can bring
myself back also. And I know I'm contributing to friends who I've stranded with as well. So it's like becomes this different game where you're not just a porter, but you're a builder too. Mm-hmm. And especially with zip lines, you have to specifically think about the topography and like, you know, where the geography is going to connect to places. And you can actually on the map, if you rotate your controller, you can see a three-dimensional vision of it. So you can figure out like, I needed like this zip line to be here, but this zip line to be here in order to connect to all these other routes.
It's like in Lord of the Rings, the lighting of the fires across the mountains. It is a math process.
Yeah.
And like, you can kind of like, you really have this geometry to contend with. And you always are like running to the top of a peak and putting your little tuning fork there and like kind of lining it up with the other ones. It feels so satisfying.
A grappling hook where if you have one with you and you see something in distance, you're like, I'm not walking.
Yep.
Just head on up. But yeah, like the zip lines are, I think, one of the coolest parts of the whole game, and they get dropped in there fairly late, depending on how you're playing it.
Yep.
But again, this is the sort of weird experimental side of it. This is the social Strand system. This is the construction stuff. I want to talk about boss fights, which is something Kojima is known for. He's made some of the coolest boss fight experiences in all of gaming. And there are definitely boss fights in here. I liked some of them, but let's just go around and discuss them. Tina?
Well, they mostly felt like mini-bosses, because anytime you get sucked under by the BTs, it's like, you know, there's a giant cat or something, and you can run away from it, so that doesn't really feel like a proper boss.
I thought that was like just a big enemy.
Yeah,
I
guess
like
so.
The more it's sort
like
of,
But surprisingly, the bosses recycled those big enemies.
Yeah.
Like, those ended up being some of the bosses.
They're like introductory.
Yeah, when Higgs drops down, he's like, are you ready for some action or whatever? And he gives you that first boss.
Yep.
That was a boss I felt like I'd already fought a few times because it's just a catcher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. But there really only feels like there's maybe 2 proper boss fights. Is that right?
Well, there's the World War ones. Does that count? It's like right. a boss sequence, it's but it's sequence. Not. You know, it's not
and
really
it's
different.
Repeated all the time. So
I know what you're saying because like, there's the Higgs one-on-one fight, yeah. right? And yeah. what's the other one?
Well, I would say the giant BT that you actually see early on.
The anthropomorphic one.
Yeah, exactly.
The walking one.
The walking one.
Yeah, that's a total boss fight.
If we're talking about boss fights, I think that like there's basically the three versions of Cliff, the three different Warzone ones.
Yes, yeah, so you do count those.
I consider those boss fights. They're sort of recycled in different settings.
They're like Kojima style boss fights, like Metal Gear style, where it's a one-on-one,
like
and
boss
like you're
levels.
In a new area.
Yeah, exactly.
Those are great.
There is the big anthropomorphic sort of, that dude, who again was in the second trailer.
Yeah. But
which
he,
I was
he
just
also,
like,
wait, that was in the trailer?
Yes!
It was in the trailer, but also doesn't he make an appearance when he gets all the delivery guys? He like eats one of the delivery guys.
Yeah, that was the second trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that dude shows up with the big, you know, the hands going every which way. Yep. So that was a cool one. I was crazy about the big whale.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The whale was really cool.
Yeah. Now, you fought the whale in its first incarnation when you're crossing the tar belt. Right? Isn't that where you fought it?
Yeah, isn't that its only incarnation?
No, because you fight it again when there's a storm at the very end of the game when you're doing your final trek east. At the end of that trek east, in the middle of it, kind of, you fight that whale, another
giant
whale.
You didn't fight him then?
It's a
during, like,
that whale
right
flies
outside
around.
Of Capitol
Right outside State. Of Capitol Knot, yeah.
When you have to do the sort of, like, hopscotch across
the when
oil.
They're, like,
no, the oil thing, we all ran from that whale
in
the oil
thing. Oh, no, I kicked his ass.
Because it makes basically a platforming level for you to get across the tar.
But that's the skippable one, and then there's the non-skippable actual boss fight.
Yeah, so the whale comes back later where you fight it, but maybe...
But apparently,
you killed
if
the whale.
Max kills it, you don't have to fight him at
what
the end
that's
of the
true?
Game.
It's also possible I was tired and decided to run from the whale later on. I can't recall. But
wait,
again,
so you didn't fight the whale with the rocket launcher?
I definitely fought the whale
that's
with the rocket
boss
launcher.
Battle. Yeah, that's
that was
the boss battle.
That was the part
about.
Where I was like, hell yes.
Yeah, that
was
cool.
Literally the next day, I showed up to work and I think the launch trailer had dropped or something. And I was like,
oh, it was in
and
that?
It was just like in the thumbnail. It was like auto-playing on Twitter. And I was like, I'm really glad that I
played that before.
Because that was one of the few things that really surprised me. But as far as the actual, like, the other bosses, there was the whole Higgs sequence, which was sort of like a weird... That felt almost like a sort of dumbed-down version of the fights with Cliff.
Yeah, weird. And also it's like a big, silly meta sequence where there's all these game references thrown out. There's the mention of Mario and Peach, which is, like, so weird out of nowhere, and it's handled poorly. And then there's the actual fighting game. I mean, it's silly. But there's the fighting game sequence where they have life bars, and they're just beating each other up.
I took so many screenshots of
it. Did you really?
Because it's just, like, smushed, like, punched.
Oh, that was funny, Ooh, that was cool to see that in engine. And then also they just mentioned... Game over and game a whole lot in that time.
There was an odd running theme that I felt like never really stuck the landing, where like even early on Deadman's like he's like, it's gonna be game over, man, and then it played like a little like, you know, like,
the little jingle thing. Yeah.
Okay, and then the whole Mario Peach thing and just I don't know, never be
one Cliff
over.
Introducing himself as or not Cliff, Higgs introducing himself as like, it's time for a good old fashioned boss fight.
Yeah.
Puts the gun on his
so
shoulder.
That maybe that was more like a Higgs through line. I was gonna say Hartman introduced a really cool thing where there's you know, you give likes all the time in the game. And I like he like sometimes he would give a thumbs up and then Sam started giving thumbs up with a little like, you know?
But you get to see it like in game. He's like blink.
I love that. And then when he's in a cutscene, you get to look around his room and you get likes for everything you check out. When you leave, you screw up his stylus on his turntable and you do like a little record scratch.
That was a wonderfully weird moment.
it subtracts 20 likes and then bounces them back up again when you leave. It's so weird.
I would say the boss fights, I think my favorite one was the like, maybe not my favorite, but the one I liked a lot was the shooting on the beach with Higgs, and you're kind of like running around the beach and you're using your Ojedic sensor to kind of see where he is, because it's very satisfying to like parry him and see Sam just kind of like kick him and like
I got
through
that whole thing without knowing about parry. And you can do it in a lot of different ways. So, like, all my stuff was, like, a little bit of, like, running up to him, punching him, and then, of course, the tying, and then just kicking a whole lot.
Well, because Sam is, like...
You grabbed cargo and smacked him in the face with
I didn't even do that.
Oh, because there's, like, dead cargo.
He would come out and start just, like, chewing scenery, and I would just, like, whoop a briefcase
at him. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
There was a PlayStation there for me.
No, I didn't tie him up.
You never tied him up?
Oh, I tied him up.
Even says, like, this strand versus gun.
Yeah, but instead it was briefcase versus gun.
Wow, did it take a long time to kill him with a briefcase?
No, it was great.
What? See, that's the kind of
person.
That's the Kojima magic. That's exactly what you're talking about. It's like a sandbox that you can mess with.
Yeah,
that's so cool.
Even in a boss fight.
I'm dying to hear the little things that pop up. Like, I was sort of disappointed you couldn't do more peeing on stuff in the middle of things. Like, did anyone successfully pee on one of the larger BTs?
Actually, the very end of the game was the first time I ever peed. Like, I just didn't even do it. And I was like, I should try this out. And it was like 1,000 milliliters, and it took
a long time.
50 seconds or something like that.
I would do it every time I had to, like, build something. It's like building a generator, and it's like, and I'm like, well, now's a great time.
But if you pee on the BTs, nothing happens, right? Because theoretically, your whatever's, like, any liquid that your body produces in your DNA should harm them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But, like, actively peeing on them doesn't do anything.
When they're grabbing you, like, if they get you, if you're running away from the from them, if you are outside of it, if you pee on them, they'll kind of scurry away.
Really?
Oh, because I saw footage and I didn't see anything of somebody
that's
doing
really
this.
Funny.
One thing that, like, immediately bothered me, and I realize this sounds juvenile, but, like, the thing I love about Kojima games is that they reward players who do sort of test boundaries and kind of just, like, poke around. Like, for instance, in Metal Gear Solid 2, when Pliskin is taking a nap, if you just ride and go up and point a gun at him, he'll just immediately beat you up. Because it's like, you're not supposed to do that. Don't do that. Mm-hmm. Like, other weird little things where if you call Mei Ling on the codec too many times, she'll be like, stop calling me, and she'll, like, stick her tongue out and ignore you. Mm-hmm. Like, little things like that where it's just sort of like, it's finding things that players might do while bored, and then rewarding them for doing that.
Well, we might still soon see this stuff come out, hopefully, too, because what's the character that gets married?
I was going to say, you were talking about the spring thing?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, this is so good. You know, you're supposed to transport her body to her, what becomes her husband.
Yeah, the junkyard
and the chiral artist.
Yes, and the chiral artist. So you pick up the chiral artist and you put her in your, weirdly carry her in, like, a corpse bag to her soon-to-be husband. But you can take her to the hot springs,
you guys just take
a bath together.
Maybe.
Let's take her to the incinerator.
If you take her to the hot springs, there's a cut scene where you're just both just sitting in the hot springs.
And she's there.
Okay, and she doesn't even have her mummy suit on.
That's what I'm talking about.
Exactly.
That's
I mean, there is the whole, like, if you stare at his, like, crotch in the safe house, he'll, like, punch the camera.
There's a bunch of safe room things where he, like, points at the shower. He's like,
I guess I desperately need a shower.
I guess what I'm getting at here is I'm mad that you couldn't pee just anywhere. I really wanted to just, like, take a leak in front of, like, Dead Man and have him be like, Sam, what are you doing? Hartman's like, you know, he passes out and you're like, you go pee on his DVDs and he comes back and he's like, what is that? Why is it wet here? But anyway, I have brain problems and I apologize for that. So let's move on. Let's talk about the story a little bit. Let's talk about sort of the flow of this. This was a post-apocalyptic Kojima epic. Tina?
You know what's interesting? Like, I like all that. I like how, you know, he personified the Big Bang, essentially, in Amelie. But the thing that I actually was drawn to the most was Bibi. And I really liked the evolving connection that that Norman Reedus' character had with Bibi. And especially how Dead Man, like, also develops a connection. And so it's this idea of them using babies just as tools and then coming to terms with what that means. Because Bibi becomes so much more significant to the main story than you initially even feel. It's like just through the Odradek detecting where BTs are. But really, like, there's so much significance for Amelie. And Amelie even falls in love with, you know, the original BB, which was Sam. So I really like the BB connection. And I feel like it's kind of like the unsung part of the story.
And now that we can spoil it all, I mean, the moment in which Sam sees Lou the first time is not in, like, a structured moment.
It just
happens. He just says it.
Yeah.
And then he says it another time. And then the button prompt changes to check on Lou. And then
it just naturally
Dead
develops.
Man is like, oh, you gave him a name? Yeah. It's so lovely. And then, of course, the twist at the end with Louise. Like, it's so cool. I love that whole sequence is great.
I remember missing that, and I was like, wait, who's Lou? Like, why is Lou giving me likes? And I was like, oh, he calls him Lou now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
calls her Lou.
The whole baby thing was like, I love that everything that was sort of telegraphed to us in all these trailers were like, what is Death Stranding? This is going to be so weird and so crazy, but it'll all probably make sense. And then it all made sense contextually, but it still was extremely weird.
That's a good way to explain it. It's like the Lost universe and the end of Lost did not make sense still. But the Death Stranding universe, like, there's a logic and a backstory and everything, like, has a name. And it actually makes sense. Like, I understand. When I watched the cutscenes, I was like, what's going on? I was like, oh, that is just explaining this character further or furthering the plot. Like, it was a very simple thing to understand once you had the established lore. And the lore is what my favorite part of this game was. It's new. It's just not from anything. It's not, mm-hmm. it's not based on, you know, a classical, you know, biblical things. It's not like apocalypse stuff. It's not based on any sci-fi thing. It's not based on Tolkien fantasy. It's just its own darn thing.
Well, there are like,
you think that's all in there?
Yeah, there's historical elements, there's science behind it, but it's twisted. So it's like, you know, there are World War One, World War Two, Vietnam War references, and then there's also like the like Big Bang and the fact that there are
the mass extinctions.
Like, mass extinctions, mm-hmm. like they're all based, and they have these touchstones on historical events. And there's even like caveman drawings where they were drawing back to like this is when they experienced their extinction event. But it's just so totally Kojima-ized.
Yeah, I mean,
where it's manipulated into this crazy story.
Kojima is a dude who loves movies. He loves you know, pop culture, and he loves to kind of, I think the mark of a good auteur or good, you know, creator is somebody who can like, who can hide their influences and hide the things they're borrowing from.
Well.
In the same way that like, you know, Pulp Fiction is a groundbreakingly like original film, but then if you like read some Elmore Leonard and watch Rashomon, you're like, wait a minute.
Yeah, you don't want to be banged over the head with a reference. You want to be subtle.
So you're saying this is the Family Guy of video games?
I'm saying,
you know what Kojima's favorite movie is? Beer Fest. I was texting Max halfway through the game through this. Because it's like, there's totally a Beer Fest moment in this game. And I'm like, hey, Max, have you ever seen Beer Fest? Because Kojima has. That was like my favorite. I have it written down here. That was my favorite story moment is when Mama dies. And I'm like, oh, this is so sad. And then it's like, she has a twin sister. And it's still played by Margaret Qualley.
Like,
and you know what? By the end of the game, we're just going to call her Mama now, too. I'm like, Beer Fest?
Like, I mean, I don't want to spoil Beer Fest. We have another video going up about the hit film.
Beer Fest spoiler cast is after this
one. No, like, you're totally right. I'm sure that's popped up in some other corner of fiction as well, too. But like,
I'm sure it has.
It is also just like such a, like, like twist for sake of a twist kind of thing.
Yeah, I was like, oh man, it's like really sad, and I think it's like, I think they keep them separate enough where it still can be sad that Mama died. But to go off what you guys were saying earlier about how like watching the cutscenes, you're like, what is going on? Like, I don't understand what's happening. But then
I understood every cutscene.
Anyway,
it made total sense.
I didn't. But going through, we've been, especially these four people have been working on Death Stranding and like the story explained and the ending explained. And it's like, it all kind of makes a lot more sense now once you really like dive back deep into it. And I definitely liked it a lot more now than I did when it first, like when it first ended, I was like.
So you're saying on reflection, you've enjoyed it.
Yes.
Well, also there are elements in the introductory cutscenes for the game that like, going back to it, if you watch it, you're like, ah, I get that reference.
Yeah.
Like, I'll be waiting for you on the beach, or the photograph with Amelie and Bridget Strand. Like, there are all these sort of like forecasting elements.
Yeah.
Well, and I think the game like expects you to retain everything that's ever happened, so that way when some big reveal happens, you're like, that's why this, and you're like, no, because there's 7 hours of cutscene.
If it intends that though, because there's a lot of storytelling that's done where it overwhelms you with exposition and backstory and detail, so you get a sense of the universe and things later don't feel out of place in it. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily like, oh, like, it's always a callback. So I like appreciated that the world was big enough that it was overwhelming at first, and then I got it. Like, that's a good way to build a world. You brought up cavemen. Did you notice that there's a lot of stuff about old cave paintings and fossils in the game? One of the things that's really cool is that one of the oldest forms of human art, 40,000 years ago, humans would put dye in their mouths and then blow against a wall and it would make a handprint. And it makes these beautiful red and black handprints in old cave walls. And that's what's all over Sam's bruises. Like, that's on his body. That's where that comes from. And then in Dead Man's, Heart Man's, awesome, cool Icelandic palace. He has like a big wall painting that is that cave paintings in those colors.
But it's also the inverse of the BT handprint.
Is that in the handprints too?
Yeah. The chirality of it all.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
I love that, like, the whole chirality thing that's in one of the first episodes of Breaking Bad. Like, the
and watching that little segment really is funny, like the best way. It's like the hands are identical and yet opposite. And I was like, oh, I understand Death Stranding now.
What did you guys think of Cliff, of Mads Mikkelsen's character?
I thought there were good moments, like gameplay-wise, I thought there were really good moments to cut into the story and intersperse like the pace of how you're playing through it. His performance was pretty good, too. I mean, like, I definitely noticed a sense of confliction there. Like, he's this villain, but he's also, like, grabbing out for BB, and I love BB, too, so how could he be all that bad? And so I felt like I was definitely being led down the path of there's something more going on with Cliff that we're going to find out towards the end. So that was paced out really well for me.
the subtlety of him going for BB, but it not being the BB he knows in his afterlife, but BB is there because Sam is BB, is really interesting, because he's kind of like, he'll touch the wrong BB, and the BB will kind of look at him and smile, but not really like connect with him.
Oh, BB put BB's hand up.
And did the hand thing, and but then like the actual BB is right in front of him, and he doesn't realize it. I love that. Then why did I love it? Because I just said it was subtle. Mm-hmm. They didn't beat you over the head with it for a long time, and then it gets a little bit beaten.
I mean, it's like we've seen like sort of Kojima be very much like he loves his stars, like he loves to get people out there acting, and I think sometimes he gives them like, you know, he gives them dialogue that their actors are like, I don't really know what's happening here.
Like, can you imagine what that would have been like? Because they deliver their lines pretty darn well for what this game is and how wacky it is, and there's a lot of extra dialogue that you can just skip through, and they just did all that.
I think Matt's
crazy.
I think like for the fact that also that was him, that was his voice and his personality, whereas with Hartman and Deadman, it was like a voice actor basically voicing another person's skin, you know?
Yeah.
But I mean, the fact that we got introduced to Cliff in the first trailer where he's this, like, terrifying, you know, army man in the sewer being like, you know, and then we're like, oh, this guy's super scary and terrifying, and then he pops up and he's like, hey, I got a great bottle of wine. Yep. I'll tell you, you're going to have it someday later. I'll show you everything. We'll go to the moon. You're like, no, he's actually lovely.
And it's disappointing when those sequences repeated. I was so hoping they would figure out a clever way to not have those repeat.
I still maintain they did not repeat.
But. Tina thinks she saw a secret ending to one of them.
I don't remember them ever repeating.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't remember them repeating. Some of them were just slightly extended. That's why I think they seem like
But I'm kind of the same way. It's like
so much. I don't know.
When you watch the second trailer and it's like, okay, you know, Norman Reedus is the good guy, Mads Mikkelsen is the bad guy, and that's just instantly what it is, right? And then it's like, yeah, then you see the BB pod stuff, and he ends up being this like really tragic character that I loved a lot. Yeah, he's awesome.
I think Sam was good. I know he's annoyingly not speaking a lot and is kind of one of those silent characters, but it is those moments in the room where he kind of has a little smile on his face or he's hinting at something that's like, hey, Norman Reedus like played this pretty well too.
Yeah,
I like those.
A lot of body language, like even him just withdrawing when someone comes up for a hug.
I like that
or, like,
a lot.
Stopping Lachna when she's coming up for a hug.
Those kind of moments
like really illustrate who he is.
And him plus BB are really good too. Every moment with him and BB is like, how are you doing?
I would love to see like behind the scenes stuff about all of the performance capture they did when he was in the private room.
Yeah.
Like all the stuff. All right, chug the drink, which later became Monster, but I swear that's supposed to be beer initially.
Yeah.
It gets increasingly rowdy and then like spits in your face. And, like,
there's like they released on release day, they released like this little behind the scenes showing some stuff, and it shows Sam just like, or Norman Reedus, like doing the whole, like all that stuff, and it just like looks really funny. I'm with you. I kind of want to watch this entire game again just with the mocap, because it's like, we've seen like Mads Mikkelsen and Norman Reedus, but like we haven't seen like Lea Seydoux and her mocap outfit, and it's like I really want to get into all that.
How did Del Toro work with his mocap with another person speaking?
Yeah, well, he's just scanned in. Him and Nicholas Winding Refn are just scanned in.
They put his face on somebody else's body data.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, the whole thing is like completely. Like, Kojima's, obviously, he's trying a lot of different stuff in different directions. Like, I think it's like a crazy ambitious game to be like, it's a new genre of video game, but also, here's, you know, Academy Award nominees and directors and stuff. And
even Lindsay Wagner, Amelie, that's not her. That's somebody else. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not Lindsay Wagner. She just scanned in.
Yeah. And then, of course, there's all the just random cameos of people who pop up. The Conan O'Brien thing was phenomenal.
Oh, I loved it.
That was such a
wonderful I love that, like, it fits with Sam so well because he's just like, giving him jokes, and Sam just stares at him, and he's like,
Tough crowd,
okay, like, what about
tell,
this one?
with all of those NPCs, I can never tell until I connected to them to the Conan
network,
because they're so, like, fuzzed out, and I'm like, oh, that's Conan O'Brien. Like,
I totally agree. Like, I just couldn't tell at all, and I think several people had played through that in our office and didn't realize it was Conan O'Brien, which is totally understandable. The voice, seriously.
That one I knew.
that was a giveaway, but it's just hard to see.
I hope we get, like, just random cameo DLC. Like, just other people pop up.
Why not?
Other random
like, here's
preppers.
A new region. And
Also, like, for a game that's entirely about, like, reconnecting people with the internet that has a very active community, like, we don't know, I don't think we know anything about what the post-launch plans are.
I know.
Aside from PC.
Alaska.
I don't know. Yeah. That would be
Hawaii?
The moon?
The moon.
I want to go to I want to deliver stuff on the moon. That seems like a great time.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, let's talk about the ending a little bit. That's the whole big thing. That was the, I would say, the bulk of the spoilers was just all of that.
It kind of felt like the bulk of the game, because after a certain point, you just have like this really long ending of boss fight, boss fight, boss fight, cutscene, cutscene, cutscene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm scrubbing through. I have all 7 hours of cutscenes on a timeline, and I'm like, when you start,
that's the total game, not just the ending.
No, just the whole every cutscene, and about halfway through the timeline is that's when the ending starts, and you're like, wow, there's so much, because there's just like
so half of all cutscenes are ending.
No, there's like a 3-hour movie at the end.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
But yeah, so basically, so Amelie and Bridget are the same person, and they are an extinction entity who is there to cause the sixth apocalypse, basically, and put an end to all of life on Earth.
Wow, spoilers.
All right, we'll take it from here. Go.
Okay. Like, for the last time, because the first five extinction events weren't exactly...
Some animals got through.
They left a species, and this one was...
It's unclear why she doesn't want to destroy everything.
Biotes. Birds, maybe? I don't
know. Yeah, exactly.
We were just talking about this. I think only cryptobiotes and humans are the only living things you see in the game.
No, you see a deer at the beginning.
And
you see a deer and birds.
But you never see a deer again.
And I guess you see moss.
That deer?
There's
you
lots
see
of moss.
A bird land and get all turned old right in the opening of the game.
Turned old.
Turned old.
Olden.
Oldified.
Deer. So, but yeah, so.
That poor deer, I forgot.
Okay, well,
it didn't make
about
the jump.
We're talking about the ending, not the very beginning. Everyone's seen the deer. Deer's fine. But so they're trying to bring on the end of the world. Yeah. They being two women who are in fact the same woman, who is in fact no woman at all, but sort of a godlike Big Bang Theory type thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then of course Sam, it turns out to be that original BB that was in all these that was grown in a lab,
right.
And Mads was trying to protect and then kidnap and then there's that weird thing that happens where the baby dies and then gets brought back by Amelie on her beach. It's unclear how the baby makes it to her beach, but when she does that, she seems to make him a repatriate. Because she says, I'm going to send you back, I'm going to lead you back. And, like, I suppose she leads him back every time, but sometimes he disappears in the water and goes back himself.
So that's a lot all at once.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, she goes and after he dies, she goes and picks him up. So I would assume that it's her transporting him to her beach, like, because she didn't mean to kill him.
Yep.
But then, through the power of hugging, Sam saves the day.
Yep.
He does.
But then also has a gun to maybe shoot her with. But then
I did shoot her, and it does nothing.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, I shot her 30 times. Her.
Yeah. There is an alternate ending right there
times.
That I don't know if any of us got. I've seen it now where if you just let her walk out into the water, the apocalypse will happen. You just get a game over
that.
Screen.
I got that.
Okay. You have like a continue screen, so you just,
right.
It's not really, I don't really consider
it's just,
it.
It's come back to life.
It's like, hey, you didn't do the right thing.
Exactly.
And so
then
it makes you do it again.
But it comes back with you holding the gun. So it's just like, I tried to like shoot her in the face. I tried to shoot her in the necklace. So I was just like, what the heck? Because you can't, I didn't realize you could put it away. And then
also,
you go up and you can hug her.
Your buddies prep you for, you know what you have to do if you go over there and you can't through the power of your naturally given like speech abilities, which Norman Reedus does not have in this
game. Yeah, he's not a convincer.
If you're unable to convince her, then you're going to have to shoot her, is what they suggest. So I think that's why he points the gun, because he assumes this is what I'm supposed to do, but it doesn't feel right. And you're supposed to realize like, you know, Amelie and you have this great big meaningful connection, and she'll understand your empathy for humanity and your need to go back. He comes from like, you know, a family background where he had a wife and a kid, and he has Lou back at home. So I think she had this like moment of understanding of like, okay, fine, I'll sacrifice myself to a life of solitude, waiting maybe hundreds of thousands of years so that humanity can live on that amount of time.
It's unclear whether there will be another extinction. I don't really know.
It absolutely will. She says it's an inevitability. Okay.
It's going to happen, but it's like hundreds of thousands of years.
Yeah, and that's why she says, because she doesn't have this concept of time, she says, I didn't think anyone would blame me because I'm just so sick of sitting here waiting. Like, you're going to die anyway. Might as well just be now with dignity, is how she considers it. Mm. It's like, you might as well accept your fate and escalate it.
So
rather
than
like just sitting around feeling like you're doing anything, contributing to what is an inevitable fate.
Mm-hmm. So then Sam is stranded, but his friends come save him. And I really like how they kind of show that a very original E3 trailer with like the figures appearing in the sky. That happens one more time, and then he's rescued, and then there's more game. You do another delivery, and that's when there's a lot more like behind the scenes-y stuff with Lou, or not with Lou, with BB, Sam, and they show all that stuff. And I really like the last delivery sequence where Hartman is like, hey, you can take this BB out and see what happens. Mm-hmm. And then I just think that was like a really interesting way to do it.
The same guy who tried to tell you to put him in the incinerator mm-hmm. is now telling you to go against direct UC.
Well, it's because halfway through the game, he gets a connection with BB as well.
Which is why the BB story is the unsung story.
Mm-hmm. No, I love the whole like, now we're going to let you see all the cliff parts outside of,
That was great.
You're just watching that whole part again.
But they're before they took BB away from him.
But they're through Sam's eyes both times, because they're through his eyes as BB when they're original, and then he's in the scenes, like, kind of watching this go down in that weird flashback series.
But the whole, like, as far as, like, all, the whole ending, the whole, like, Die Hard man becoming president and stuff like that, I kind of was like...
It kind of went over my head. I just
didn't really care about a lot of that. I was just sitting there with the controller, and I was like, if this is the ending, you know, and then the whole, like, Sam and BB section, that, like, got me. Mm-hmm. That whole thing where it's like, you can take them off, and then it's like, you make that, you know, the game comes full circle. Your first, like, delivery is delivering Bridget to the incinerator, and now you're making that exact same hike to take BB there, and... I'm like, you better not put BB in that incinerator. And sure enough, he doesn't. And then obviously the after credit scene of him naming her Louise and all
that. I think it the game definitely stuck the landing on like a few of the sort of character story arcs and mm-hmm. sort of different relationships that we see on screen. I think some of them, like, I don't feel like I ever really cared about Die Hard Man. Like, and then it's like, and he became president. And I was like,
I think the thing there was like, they needed to tie a loop on the whole UCA thing, because you spend literally the entire game mm-hmm. connecting city hubs to the UCA. So it's like, all right, well, we might as well make that sort of definitive. So it's not like you spent 60 hours doing nothing. And it's also his redemptive moment, because he feels so much guilt over shooting his friend and his mm-hmm. friend's baby. Even though it was Amelie who had pulled the trigger. So I think it's a moment for him to kind of take a stand for what Bridget / Amelie wasn't doing for the country, and finally, like, put a little tie on that as well. But they didn't spend enough time on him and making me care about him, so I do agree. But I do see storyline-wise why it should be significant.
Coolest mask in the game, I think.
That's
I like
true.
The gold one
but
second.
Masks aren't
but I like
supposed
it.
To be good. You're not supposed to hide behind the mask.
Mm-hmm. Fragile. It was my was a good character and a good actor. Like, I really liked that role, but like, I felt like that really petered out. It's like, I'm just going to start my company again. You want to work for me? I kind of was hoping he would. Actually, I thought that would have been a cool post game.
There was also this weird moment where they tried to make this like weird romantic triangle thing mm-hmm. with like I kept not understanding. Like, I know Amelie's, I guess, my sister, because they're saying that Amelie is Bridget's daughter, and I was raised by Bridget, but also there's like a weird romantic tension.
Yeah, like on the beach, all of a sudden, where it's like Amelie versus Fragile, and he's
exactly.
like, we appreciate everything you've done, but we're good from here. And I'm like, oh, this is like awkward all
and
of a sudden
get to
because
the
Fragile,
beach,
like, yeah, it was
to
a little
get to the beach,
weird.
Fragile's like, I know you love her. Like, you have to really reconnect to your love for Amelie. So it's like, it definitely was a weird, like, you know, it's a sister, but he loves her, but also Fragile's
adopted.
Jealous. Yeah. But still, I know this is like a Star Wars thing, but still.
Yeah, yeah.
I think as far as the character stuff goes, like, by the end of the Metal Gear series, it's like, these are characters that we've been kind of kicking around for, like, you know, 30 years at this point, and they've had a chance to really kind of build up these different, you know, connections, strands, whatever. Mm-hmm. And in this case, it kind of just comes out swinging with, like, here's a bunch of new characters, get to know them, read those emails, listen to those codec calls, and just, they're actors. Look at them go.
The emails, man. The emails are, now that I'm going through all of the emails. Man, it's rough, because it's like, there is a lot of story stuff buried
There's
in those emails
in
that,
emails.
That you're just, it's actually somewhat disappointing that it's like you actually learn about Sam's family and you mm-hmm. learn about.
That's why I don't read my actual emails.
Like why Higgs has the mask and stuff like that. You actually learn all that information through emails and you're like. Oh.
His name.
You know,
which is?
You know, it's
Peter something.
Peter Engel, something like that.
Yeah.
Good Lord. Yeah, I love that there's also, like, there's little things that have popped up elsewhere in Kojima games. Like, the whole final pistol thing with Amelie was totally, like, the end of Snake Eater.
I was going to ask you about that. Are those references to other... there's very few Metal Gear references that I recognize. There's only one that I can really
There's
name.
No direct
so that's another
references
one.
That I caught, really. I mean, somebody might call me out on that, but, like, it's all kind of more the way Kojima...
It's just, like, Kojima's game design.
He likes to iterate on his own ideas. Mm-hmm. If we want to get really weird about it, I believe there was an audio transmission or tape or whatever in Phantom Pain that was about, like, I want to say it was like
like Ocelot and or it's either Miller or Ocelot and the boss showering together or like wrestling in the shower.
Oh, funny, because that shower scene
and then happens. Yeah.
You have a shower scene with the boys, mm-hmm. which was very weird. That was a very
How does BB pee on Hartman?
I forget. He like bursts through his pod somehow.
Is there like an evacuation point? Is it like a leak or like it's a really weird sequence?
I think it's the pod that leaks, right?
Okay.
That's I think so.
Probably not good.
I can't remember.
Also, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Now that I know what I know about BB too, it's like anatomically difficult. So it must have been the situation of the pod leaking.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we've established it.
Okay.
It was and that's really what we came here to do.
Yeah.
So well, he gets sprayed.
Yeah.
He does.
Yeah. What was your favorite weirdness? Dana?
Favorite weirdness. I mean, I have a favorite moment that we didn't get to discuss yet.
Sure, let's. I mean, there's a lot to take in.
Yeah. My favorite moment was kind of a gameplay and story element when you're trekking back east so that you can get to the final bosses of the game. And in the process, there's timefall everywhere, and it's more disastrous than ever, and you're, like, you know, carrying these cryptobites to bring to Fragile, and I actually have a weird moment connecting to that. And all of that, like, really changes the environment, and you feel the finality of the game in the process because, like, you've reverted. This is, like, typical Act 3 video game thing where you've, like, you don't have all your tools anymore. You've reverted just to ladders and anchors. Everything is, like, rapidly getting demolished by timefall, so you basically have a ticking time bomb with your cryptobites. And then you go and you give the case of mostly almost like completely destroyed cryptobites in my case to Fragile. She eats one and pops right back up. When meanwhile I've been carrying like 100 or whatever the max is for cryptobites in my bag this entire time, and they explain it as, oh, she just had some jet lag and she needed the cryptobite. So it's my favorite
honestly,
moment leading to a weird moment.
I would eat like a large flying tardigrade if that cured jet lag. I would eat one of those.
Yeah,
I know. That turns out jet lag is not enough blood in your body.
There you go.
More blood.
They used to think you had too much blood in your body for every disease. They're like, got to get that blood out. Get the good blood back in.
Science has come a long way. Mm-hmm. Sam, what about you? What was your favorite like just moment?
So I had a moment where I was... First of all, every time you transport a human in that game, it's a weird moment.
Mm-hmm.
And the weirdest possible is the first time you wrap a live human up like that, and it's the Kyle artist's daughter that you take back to the junkyard. And you put her on your back. And
so you can't just walk with me.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
And you're going across sand dunes for that, you know? And then there's BTs just everywhere. So I was doing that, and at that point in the game, you have your hematic grenades to destroy them with. And so I was doing that. And I kind of like exploded one too close to myself, and then on my back there's this like mummy lady just covered in blood. It was the weirdest thing. I just kind of stopped and I was like, "What is happening in this game?" But it just
your blood.
Yeah, it was my blood just everywhere, and just like big mists of blood everywhere, and that like it speckles you all the way down. That was a weird.
Did you at any point just like totally eat shit while carrying her? Not like literally. I know there's like weird stuff.
I dropped Mama in a lake and she was just going down the lake. I'm like, oh no!
was there any dialogue that went with that?
I don't remember.
I feel like I might have dreamed that.
No, it was just like, you're missing cargo. And I was like, oh, let me go grab her. She's just going down this lake.
Some other porter to find.
Yeah, and that's when she was still alive. And
you should have taken her to the hot spring.
I feel like Sam apologizes. Like, I think I think so too.
Because
I mean, he has all these like reactive.
He mutters a lot of stuff.
Yeah, when he drops a bunch of DVD players. Or whatever, he's like, oh crap, that's coming out of my paycheck.
Yeah,
I definitely dropped the artist lady because you know the chiral artist is like on a platform which is like 5 feet off the ground, and there's no way to get off of it. Mm-hmm. So I just like ran off the side and fell, and it's like wham, and then just the body rolls off.
You're like, ugh.
Yeah.
I'd say my like favorite moment was kind of like Sam was like another. It was just like a gameplay moment where I was just in a bad spot. I hadn't been to a safe house forever. I'm covered in blood. I had no like weapons, and I get caught by the BTs. And I think this might have been before I even knew that you could run from the catcher.
Yeah, when you discover
that. I fight them, and it just takes forever. It's the one by the junk dealer by where it's like all those like abandoned ruins or whatever. And so I'm just like running around, getting the help from the other porters, and I finally take this thing down. And I have like no stamina. I have nothing. And I see like a timefall shelter, and I'm just like, ugh, and I just go over there, and like a porter had upgraded it where there was music playing,
mm-hmm.
and so it was kind of like this, just like weird, like all this like crazy stuff that had just happened, and it was kind of cool to just go, and I just like sat down and was just like listening to Trigger by Major Lazer, and just was kind of like, well, that was something.
I'm sure that's what you needed in that moment.
Like, I just needed to just like chill after this like 15 minute boss battle. I was just like, yeah, just kind of chill, listen to some music, hide in this Timefall shelter.
This is a chill game. We had somebody write in saying it's like such, it's a really good podcast game, and it like it is.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That today. That's really funny. Totally.
No, and it's also one thing that totally blew me away was the first time I came across one of the Horizon Zero Dawn like brontosauruses.
Yeah.
That somebody had put up just outside.
It's mind blowing.
I was like riding a trike along, and I just kind of like went past it, and it would just caught a glimpse of it. Like, it didn't fully render. And I, like, dropped
the
controller.
Skull neck, and you're like, whoa.
Am I going to fight dinosaur? Like, what is that? Like, I don't know. And then it was like, oh, no, just Herman Hulse put that in there or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, if you upgrade the craftsman, he's got Aloy out there. He's got a watcher and all that stuff. It's super cool.
Good God. Yeah, it's a Kojima game. There's all kinds of weird stuff buried in there. I'm so excited to see, like, what... not just what happens to it like post-launch, but what people find in it, like what kind of stuff is hidden away in there, because like Kojima understands how the internet works and how people will engage with the things he put out there. I mean, PT was not, that was not the PT we know and love now. That was not a Silent Hills teaser. That was just a little thing. They were like, surprise, and people picked it apart, and they were like, what is this? What is hidden here? So like, what's hidden in Death Stranding? Like, it's a game about connecting.
The dead lady in PT, her name is Lisa, and Cliff's wife's name was Lisa. What do you know?
Really?
You know? It's so weird.
Mads Mikkelsen was going to play Pyramid.
I'm with you. I've been checking Reddit every day, and that's when I saw the Chiral Artist thing that is like, you can take her to the hot spring, and it's like, every day I'm just like noticing something. I saw something else today, that if you go to the hot spring and you take BB, and he'll just be in the pod, and he'll be trying to swim.
You learn that
it's
in an
so
email.
Good.
Also,
that's so cute.
Did you guys go in the hot springs? I love them so much.
I never went into one. My entire
one
pleasure.
Cool thing about that is that Iceland is famous for its hot springs. This game is just Iceland. I know it's squeezed in the United States, but every single environment in this game is a famous Icelandic environment. It's just, that's what Iceland looks like.
Yep.
And Iceland's all about those like milky, weird hot springs. There's a very famous one called the Blue Lagoon.
Where Aurora's from.
What's that?
Aurora, the band, is from Iceland.
Oh, yeah, and that one cool. Icelandic band is in there.
So,
but Iceland, it's fun.
Side note, what is it? Lochni and her sister, whatever her sister's name is. Malignan.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Those are both names of meteor craters.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
Yeah, there's all kinds of like weird like little extinction hints in there, like stuff that sort of leads up
like
to it.
Higgs boson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what a cryptobiote is? Mm. It's an animal or an organism that can enter... I'm going to butcher this. It can enter like a different sort of physiological phase to adapt to an environment. So basically, if it, like things get too cold, if it gets
so it is
hot,
a tardigrade.
It's like a tardigrade, but
because those can like solidify into a hard state for like 6 months in a vacuum of space and then be rejuvenated.
Yeah, it's effectively a thing that can, sort of survive extinction. It's about adaptability.
Exactly,
the other thing that also does that is brine shrimp.
Oh, okay.
AKA sea monkeys.
Yeah,
which. You know, you have the tardigrades in your little jar on your desk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And those they're in a sea monkey container.
Yeah, just, right?
There you go.
Like,
same thing with Fragile's umbrella. Like, there's an email that says this isn't an umbrella. It's like a tool that, I don't remember what it was, but it was like...
Or the Odra deck has a origin, right?
The
Kafka reference?
Yeah. It's rooted in a Kafka short. Like, there's so much stuff to, like, unpack and dig into and just... Like, I mean, I love that part of it. That's been, I think, honestly, that was my favorite part of it leading up to it, was trying to sort of, like, do that, you know, bulletin board insanity, you know, wireframe.
Trying to figure out what Death Stranding
was. Was anybody right?
No. I mean, like, I don't know. Everyone had, like, you know, reductive nonsense theories. Mm-hmm. Like, I think at one point I was like, it's going to be like a persistent post-apocalyptic paperboy.
Mm-hmm.
And then, kind of, you know?
You were right. Yeah. You did it.
I'll be like, it'll be like a gritty Yoshi's Island where you have a crying baby and a witch tries to steal it from...
That's pretty accurate, too.
Yeah, I don't know. It is what it is. It's somewhere between like the Postman and Interstellar, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So final thoughts, everybody.
I thought it was an interesting experience that takes a while to unfold, but is rewarding in the end.
Sam?
I think it's a game that I would recommend to anybody to play when they have the time to play it.
Yeah. It's a game that'll stick with me for a long time. Death Stranding's weird. Before
it's
I worked
like 3 years, you're gonna forget about it entirely.
Before I worked at IGN, everybody said the best thing about working in the video game industry is going to E3 with, you know, the company you work for, right? My first E3 is when Death Stranding got announced. And so it's like, it's been this game that has, like, followed me. Like, I did all the rewinds and helped with those. And it's been this, like, me and you worked on it a bunch leading up to the game. And it's, like, it's been this game that's, like, it was weird. Like, I went to Target just to take a picture of the case just because it was, like, it is so weird that this game is, like, in a store that you can just go and buy. And after playing it, I'm like, it's weird. And like I said at the beginning, like, I didn't love it as much as I thought I would, but I still liked it a lot. And it's something that I'm going to think about for a long time.
Mm-hmm. I'm really glad it exists. I think I had, like, sky-high expectations, and it disappointed me, but that doesn't mean that I hate it, you know? Like, I'm kind of just excited to see what its legacy is. Now, I'm also just, I'm happy Kojima made a studio and that he's going to continue making games. Do you think we're going to see a Death Stranding 2, or we're going to see something brand new, or a brand new Social Strand game? Like, what comes next?
Well, since he was so adamant about this being a new genre, I would assume that the Strand kind of genre would be what he would continue into the next project, whether that's Death Stranding 2, which this was supposed to be the final extension, so how could that possibly be, unless it's set on the moon, which would be a different setting entirely. But, yeah, I would imagine that general gameplay element, which is what I found most interesting, that connectivity to other players would be what he would pursue next. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see it.
I'd love to see a small game. I'd love to see him make a couple of tiny games instead of one big one.
I'm totally with you on that.
More
I can't picture a Death Stranding 2 where it's like it's another game about like the mechanics of Death Stranding.
What about Europe?
Like the mechanics of Death Stranding are story-based. You're That's reconnecting true. America. So if you... Yeah, sure, you could just keep reconnecting places, but, like, America's reconnected, so why are you making deliveries now kind of deal? Like overall story-wise, I get that he's still, like, deliveries need to be made, but do we need a second game for him to be making deliveries? So it's weird to think about, like, Death Stranding 2, but, yeah, like,
Japan
I'm interested...
Cool.
What about interested PT with stranding elements? Mm-hmm. So the BTs are other players.
I'd like to see a Fragile spinoff. I'd like to see her character more.
It's just all fast travel delivery.
or maybe
a
Cliff spinoff.
Maybe she shows up to clean your house and set your kids straight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or a Cliff Die Hardman spinoff, something like that.
Interesting.
And when I say
we just
spin-off,
established, we don't want to see a Die Hardman spinoff.
Well, if it's Cliff, it's got to have Die Hardman.
It's just a political simulator. Just a skeleton mask.
We need to reconnect America.
I mean, honestly, I'm with Sam on this. I would love to see Kojima do something smaller. I know a lot of people get mad at that. I don't mean smaller, like it's a 3-hour walking simulator. I mean the same level of Kojima density we're used to, but like maybe just a. I guess more focused, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, this felt like it had a lot of the trappings of Metal Gear Solid 5 and of what PT might have been. I mean, it had people who were in PT popping up in it, mm-hmm. and Del Toro was involved. And and then also there's, I mean, this whole Social Strand thing, like, it seems like the kind of pure concept of what that was, along with the delivery side of stuff, was almost like sort of fuddled by the other things in there. Like, were the ghosts intentionally part of that, or was that kind of to support the story? Mm-hmm. I mean, the fact that you know, it's not a game about shooting people, really. Like, but you still get an arsenal of guns, which felt like totally out of Phantom Pain.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, I don't know.
It feel like that.
It's an interesting thing. I'm glad that we there's a lot to talk about.
Yep. Kojima doing Journey or Limbo or something like that. Those are games that meant a lot to a lot of people, even though they were smaller in scale, but they still had a lot of meaning. And I think that's what he's good at. And I think that I would encourage. He said, he's probably going to make a movie before.
Yeah, he said his studio is designed to make a movie.
That will be interesting. But yeah, in the meantime, there's, I'm sure, lots of stuff to unpack from the realms of Death Stranding. And if you get stuck, we have a big, huge guide over on IGN in the Wiki's guide section. Folks, thank you for joining me. Thank you for coming here.
And, thank you.
I feel like we all just really... Just bridged a gap between.
I like the game even more now.
We all have a strand now.
No, I don't know. Like that's it. You kind of it's the weird adventures we had along the way. We
exactly.
Reconnect with that. Anyway, thank you for watching and I don't likes, like
ding.
Likes, likes,
ding, ding, ding.
There it is.
Anna Sheridan, New York Times bestselling author of Supernatural Horror, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Is the compass broken, or did I turn to the spirit?
Given the circumstances of her disappearance, someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil, so to speak.
Weak radio signal. 700 meters. Closing fast.
There's no place for ghost stories and close encounters in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
To save yourself.
Of course. What else would it be?
The Shirt, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.